Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Knocking your teeth loose with the best hockey coverage possible. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome to Hockey Central at noon. Yes, I got the call to be on with the A-team. Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios,
the left
Doug
D.
McClain.
Okay.
That's it.
I'm frustrated.
We got Stellictricity today.
That's it.
I'm frustrated.
Why?
I heard our producer say to Nick and Darren after the show last night that it's been tough. You guys have done back-to-back nights. You know, you did Toronto, and then you had to do Wednesday night back-to-back nights. And I'm thinking, Matt, Doug does three nights in a row every week, and there's no pat in the back for Doug.
Wow, and you never talk
so,
about it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Darren Millard takes the day off. He works. Yeah. He has one national show a week. That's it.
Right? That's it.
And he needs a day off.
Okay.
Well, he did back-to-back.
You already did a show this morning.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So you are the hardest working man now.
What show is that?
He has a satellite show.
SiriusXM.
SiriusXM.
7 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Yeah. 7 to 11.
That's right.
I didn't know you had a show.
Four hours churning it out.
Nick, did you know he had a show?
Yes.
Somebody said to me, you know how I'm not sure? I've never been invited on the show.
Oh, and
have you been on the show?
Doug has never
been invited. Gord Stellick's satellite radio show.
Who does he have for guests, Nick?
I don't know. I don't know. Would it be...
Are they Sportsnet guys, Nick?
Sportsnet guys or are they our competitors, Gord?
We have Mike Johnson on.
Mike Johnson.
You guys are welcome. Open invitation, whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
With Joe Bowen on this morning.
What did we do to you, Gord, that you wouldn't invite us on your show?
Well, you guys
I
see you guys working so hard.
Julius and Barnaby have had me on.
But, have they?
Yes.
Okay, well, you're always walking
now,
in
they're
the
up against us. How are you on that show? They're up when we're on. How would you have been on their show?
I'm not up against you. Well, I'm safe.
They phone me in Florida on Fridays.
Oh, on Fridays. Yeah. So you're on their show while Darren Millard and I are on this show?
You're not on Fridays.
Oh, that's right. I'm not on Fridays. You're on when Darren Millard and other people from the network are on. You're going up against our show?
I was on at 105 with them.
Oh, we're off the air.
Yes.
Okay. So,
you guys are coming on.
So you're
right?
off. You're.
Gord, we're not happy. We're sending a subtle message. We're not happy, guys.
Get us on that show, Gord. It's a hot show, I heard.
It is a hot show. Are you guys ever happy?
Okay.
Tell me, what will make you happy?
Get Nick on. Don't ask. I don't need to go on.
Okay.
I'm sort of in the twilight. He's trying to become an up and coming.
That's right.
Analyst.
How am I going to get anywhere in this business if I'm not on the hottest show in the mornings?
Well, we're going to get you on next week. How about that?
Welcome, Gord.
Thank you. I liked your comment to Brian Murray yesterday as he talked about Mahalik likes the calm of Ottawa. And you said, well, he's going to really like it here. You had to say, okay.
Hey, maybe there was some land in Florida he could have sold him to.
By the way, you made Steve Simmons column the other day.
For what?
Or a tweet, I think it
did
was.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay.
As one of the 12 GMs he's covered since he's been
with the Toronto Sun.
In his 29 years, he's covered, I think, 12 or 14 GMs. You were
yeah, that would be.
Which was pretty cool.
Are you feel honored?
I feel honored to be honored. Like,
did you not speak to him like most of the others, or
what do you mean? I spoke to Steve. Spoke to everybody. I loved wearing the maple leaf.
I'm kidding, Steve.
I know.
Steve sends me notes looking for restaurant tips in Delray Beach.
And you help him out?
Are you kidding? He works for the other guy.
I'm really competitive.
I have given him some names, but they're bad places.
I have mixed up who and what, where,
White
why.
White Castle.
Jeff Blashill's going to join us a few minutes' time. We'll get Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets.
So you don't get those guests on your show,
Kevin
do you?
Cheveldayoff 2 days ago.
You don't
ago.
Get those wow. guests on your
and,
show.
You got to come here. This morning, Adam Henrique. All kinds of guys. And... talk about Dion's debut last night. What you expected? I don't. First of all, Mac, I like your walk. You said you're walking. Everybody's yelling. You're like the King of Kensington. You're walking. You're like Seinfeld walking through the streets of New York. Everyone's hollering at you as your 40-minute walk in a Tara Sloan type snowsuit. Is that right?
Well, it was. She did a dog sled thing, and that's how I felt today without the dogs coming to work with all the clothes.
You felt like Tara Sloan.
I'm a big hometown hockey fan.
Yeah.
No, I'm a hometown hockey fan.
Okay. What did you think of Phaneuf's debut? I'm hosting, by the
way. Okay. Well, what do people expect, first of all? Do you expect when you get traded, put a new jersey on, that all of a sudden you're going to be Carlson or Doughty or whatever? Went out. I think he's got a chance to be their number two. He's a three or a four. He burned twice. Once was for a goal. He got 21 minutes of ice time. And that was it. What do you say? A pedestrian Dion Phaneuf effort.
I think when you look at the standings right now, it's going to be tough for him and his new teammates. That was a devastating loss in the standings last night to Detroit.
Detroit's playing well, though.
Yeah, that was a tough. Well, Mrazek's playing great. Detroit.
Well, Zetterberg and Datsyuk are back at it a bit. They're getting it going.
Good line, and Larkin's a star, and yeah, they're playing much better. And I thought Ottawa 5-on-5 were real good. The power play devastated them. You go, you're 0-for-6, you're losing 2-0, and one of them's a 5-on-3. You're the third best power play. You're the 22nd best power play in the league going into the game, but the third best road power play. And the way they performed in the power play cost them the game last night in Detroit in a must-win situation. What do they got, 4 or 5 teams they got to climb over? It's Dion there will help a little, no doubt about that. Shore up a pretty weak blue line, but that was a disappointing game for them.
Worst way. That's the only way you're going to measure.
But one
his
trade,
success.
Yeah, and one trade. Everyone thinks the one fell swoop is going to incredibly change things. It's just incrementally, every move you've got to make is a positive, and the more positives you make, and the fewer negatives, that's how you get better.
The thing about the trade is. And Brian Murray tries to do this all the time with his teams, is change the mood in his room by adding people at key times. And, you know, we saw it Hammond added last year. Maybe it was a fluke, but it happened. Dion, does it fire them up a little bit? Does it get it makes them a little better on the back end? There's no doubt he's better than Weirkosh and these guys that have had bad years. And he's better than Cowan. So how much of a difference he can make? Well, I think he's going to help their penalty killing. I think he's going to help them 5-on-5. He should help their power play a little bit as a depth guy. It gives them a chance. They're, 4 or 5 points out of the race. It should make them a little better team.
The games in hand are an issue now.
A big issue. You know, when you're in trouble, when you're out of the playoffs and the pitchers are getting ready to report for spring training, that was always a telltale sign. Oh no, the pitchers are reporting, and we're out of the playoffs.
Well, some people
not
say
it's not a good time of year to be out of the playoffs.
U.S. Thanksgiving, you can debate, but you're right. When pitchers and catchers report, okay. So here's one I want to throw the other way, Nick.
Yes.
About the Toronto Maple Leafs, Dion's former
the jacket. Is that a Sportsnet? Where's the badge?
No, there's no. I'm sorry, but I actually have clothes that do not have the Sportsnet logo on it.
I like it.
Your whole closet is Sportsnet logos, by the way.
Yes, my drawers aren't. My closets are. That's
so
true.
So the question I want to get to Nick on the Toronto side is, and Mac and I were talking about
it
earlier.
He has a tendency to derail the show. I don't know.
Oh, you think? Yeah, I know. So I'm going to bring it back, try to, because, important part, your Ranger team, for an example, tons of personality. Devils, different kind of personality, win. This is the team that needs a personality. This is a team that Phil Kessel, Dion Phaneuf were the front guys that gave the salute gate to the fans. And, go out, do what the Toronto Blue Jays did. Have some fun. Have some fun. Have a personality. Be like the Blackhawks. Be like, like a rock show, a
the
fun
only thing
coming
they're
to town.
Missing with that, the only thing they're missing.
Well, you got to get winning.
You got to have some players. Well, real players.
Well, you got to have players for starters, but also what was under Randy Carlyle, they went and beat the crap out of everybody and had a lot of offense. They had a short-term personality.
I thought you meant now. Yeah.
So, you got to find something now.
With Phaneuf gone, and you got, 30 games left, you look around the room and say, where's my face of the team right now?
Okay, and what, right? And what should it? Who should it be and what should it be?
Right now, it's Komarov.
No. No.
It's Kadri.
No.
It's Morgan Riley.
No. No. And it wasn't even Phaneuf. The face of the team.
The coach.
Was Babcock. Babcock was the face of the team.
Okay,
since
was.
September.
What about now, should be?
Well, here's the problem. Brian Burke was the face of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Correct, okay? For 1 year.
And what happens? The longer the president or the GM or the coach are the face of the franchise, The longer they are, the more trouble you get in.
Last year was Shanahan.
The more trouble you get in. So what you've got to do is you've got to transition as fast as you can from Babcock being the face to some real players.
What as fast as you can mean? A year?
Well, that's
2 years?
That's what I mean.
It doesn't happen overnight. It
doesn't happen overnight. Burke was the face for what, 2-3 years?
Well, a good year or two anyway that he was the face.
Right.
That he was the face.
So then but the quicker you transition away from Babcock and the group, the better. That's a sign of becoming a real team.
Okay, so what do you transition to? Are you a skilled team, a speed team, a fun team?
That's up to Shanahan and Lou
Van Rijn. Well, with Marner and Nylander, it's high-end skill. You hope within 12, 18 months. That's what you hope.
But you know what? I was thinking this morning. I was walking to work here, a fairly long train. I had a lot of time to think.
And a lot of people noticing you.
I don't care how much they tear this down. And they're going to tear it down. And they've said they are. And they're going to. Congratulations to them.
It's the building part.
It's so hard to win in this
league. Ask Edmonton.
It's so hard to win. And there's no, I don't care if Babcock's here, if Lou Lamoriello's here, if whatever is here, whatever genius comes here. Scotty Bowman was a genius in Montreal and went to Buffalo and in 7 years, never won anything and got fired and then ended up in Pittsburgh with a great team. It's hard to win. It's unbelievably hard to win. So there's no givens here. This could be 3 years or it could be 12 years. Nobody knows. And you have a better chance with these great hockey people, but there's no guarantee.
I'll tell you where they are heading, what direction they're heading, that is a surefire thing, okay? And that is in maybe 2 years, possibly three, they should have more flexibility with the salary cap than any other team, which means not much because it's what you do with it. But if the dollar continues to tank and all of a sudden the players decide that they don't want that 5% escalator anymore because they're just tired of paying 15 and 20% escrow,
exactly,
that cap may go down. And what happens when the cap goes down is that Gary Bettman has to go around the league to teams that are really pressed hard and say, you got to get rid of guys. So we've seen already what happened with Chicago with Patrick Sharp. You have to get rid of good players.
Well, Brandon saw it as well.
You have to get rid of good players. And you don't want to, but you have to. And instead of just Chicago having this issue, there might be 5, 6, 7 teams that will have this issue. And that's when the Leafs can say, we've got the space. We're going to handpick our Patrick Sharps and our Brendan Sods.
And then you can't.
That's where you got to make your money.
Okay.
That's where you got to be good.
Okay. And I agree with what you're saying. 100% with what you're saying. Except I heard that from Brian Burke 6 years ago.
Well, they just paid off those three contracts. Okay.
6 years ago, that was a strategy. We're going to
That strategy changed though.
But that
it changed.
Do you remember?
It changed. It changed.
Just a minute.
It won't change.
Just a minute. Do you remember when Burke came here? The rallying cry was, we're going to be able to pick up other people's mistakes and add them because we're the Toronto Maple Leafs. We got all kinds of money. We can do this. We can afford to do that. You know.
But I think every new guy has said everywhere.
But it changed.
It's changed under these guys.
Yes.
Except it's the same thing that you just said. The same thing Burke said 5 years ago.
No, but it changed with the short season.
Brian Burke,
and that was known as,
sped the process up. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think these guys will.
Well, he brought in Komisarek because he had cap space. He brought in Beauchemin because he had cap space. He took a bad contract in Loopels from Anaheim because he had cap space.
He re-signed him.
How many people did he bring in because he had cap space?
You're not going to lose two first-rounders in a second for Kessel.
No.
Anymore.
Well, maybe not.
That was the one that sunk them, Mac.
Absolutely.
That's the one.
No,
not the rest of them.
Sunk.
No, that was the big one.
No,
that one was the big one.
So the point I'm making is just because you have cap space, it doesn't guarantee you're going to knock it out of the park.
Well, you just bought three contracts out this past year.
Right. But I did say that's where you're going to really earn your money with the right decisions.
If you make the right decision.
Okay, here's a decision. Toronto Maple Leaf forward Nazem Kadri fined $5,000, maximum allowable in the CBA, for inappropriate gestures at Giordano.
That's right.
I said to you last night.
It's a good thing you're here and Darren Millard isn't, because Darren wanted him suspended 20 games like Weidman.
And I just said that.
I'm a little surprised he's not suspended.
I said he should get $5,000 fine, and you told me last night they could only fine him $2,500.
No, I didn't say that. We didn't mention money at all.
Yes, we did.
No, we did not. Okay, well, we didn't mention any money at all.
Hey, well,
I said he needs to be warned or fined, but not suspended.
Why? In 2016, the climate, the culture.
You know what?
Nowadays,
you want to go change the rule, then make it an automatic game suspension. I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
you got to change the rule. It's not. He's under the old.
What do you mean? The rule is
it's subject to supplementary discipline.
Correct.
So he got a $5,000 fine. And
so supplementary discipline could suspend him for a game or two or three. Correct.
Correct, but he chose not to.
Yeah, chose not. Okay.
Yeah. He chose not to.
Okay, I'm just saying I would have given him a game or two or three.
I know.
What would you have given him? 5,000?
I've been clear right from the get-go. This should have been a warning or a fine, but not suspension.
I'm okay with the 5,000.
Okay. Jeff Blashill, head coach of the Detroit Red Wings, joining us on Hockey Central. Gord Stellick, Nick Kyprios, Doug McLean. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good. Impressed by your team last night. A little bit of a positive spurt. Probably the best we've seen, fair to say, Datsyuk and Zetterberg play in the last little while.
Well, you know, I think they've both been playing good, to be honest with you. I think from a process standpoint, they've both been playing good. I think we made a decision coming into this homestand to put them together. They really like playing together. They play well off each other. As you guys know, they've had lots of moments together over the years. I brought them in the office and asked them prior to the homestand, you know, I think you guys want to play together, do you? And I think Pavel said, yes, since 2005 or something like that. So, you know, they definitely enjoy it. It gives them energy. They're give-and-go type players. They aren't necessarily straight-ahead speed guys, and they play a certain style, as you guys know, that not the rest of the guys do. So hopefully it gives them some good synergy, and we can capitalize on that.
Jeff, I don't know you very well, but...
Good start,
but
Doug.
But I sure as hell know you better than a certain NBC reporter on your bench there a week or two ago. You got to get Kenny Holland to get you a hockey card or something so that the NBC guys know you.
That would be Pierre Maguire.
Know you when they see you on the bench. What the hell happened?
Doug, he picked the wrong bald guy. I mean, there, you know, I have some hair. He went right to the totally bald guy. I don't know how.
Should bald guys not know each other, Jeff? Should bald guys not really know? Stick together. And he crushed you.
Exactly.
Anyway, you just got to. I know winning will help that. You better know one. But anyway, I just wanted to get that in there.
Hey, are you glad you came on today?
Yeah, it's great.
Hey, Jeff, we're going to see. You know, we at least hope from our side of things in the broadcast world that we're going to see some teams try to improve at the trade deadline. I get the sense that you guys may not be that active. Is it as simple as getting Cronwell back in the lineup, your big acquisition in the next little while?
I mean, part of that for me, Nick, and I think obviously there's a lot of hype around the trade deadline. You know, I think if you go back and study a lot of the moves, I think sometimes it hurts teams. And when you trade for a guy, I think there's a big push to play him in minutes and play him in lots of minutes. And is he better for sure than what you had? I think you have to be real careful in those situations. We're in a spot here where we like our team. I think we're like a lot of other teams in the league. I don't think there's hardly any separation at all. I mean, we played Florida, we played Tampa, Ottawa in the last little bit. All the teams are the same, the Islanders. Everybody's so, so close that it's going to come down to executing. It's going to come down to health. It's going to come down to who makes big plays at big moments. And I don't think we necessarily need to add a piece to be successful down the stretch in our quest to become a playoff team. And once you get in the playoffs, I think it's about executing in those situations. If we can, we can. I mean, that's something that Kenny and ultimately the management team will decide. But I think chemistry is a real factor, and I think, you know, you want to be healthy, and certainly Nick Cronwell's a big piece of that. We want him to come back at 100%, so we're not sure when that's going to be, but sooner than later. And once he comes back and he feels 100%, that's going to certainly be a boost for our hockey team.
He is skating now, correct? Could it be? Is he day-to-day now?
He's day-to-day, but it won't be it certainly won't be, I would project more towards next week. He has not practiced with us yet. He's skating on his own right now. Okay. So we're not practicing today. We'll have a pregame skate tomorrow, practice Saturday, play Sunday. He won't have enough practices in my mind to get himself going back to full go. So we want to put him in when he's got a chance to hit the ground running.
Two guys I want to talk about is your goaltender, Mrazek and Larkin. I mean, both have been terrific. I mean, Mrazek, not a new story. He really started to become a real goaltender, top goaltender, especially playoffs. But Larkin has just caught a lot of people off guard. And I talked to Kenny there 10 days ago, and he said he's got the heart the size of a lion, this kid.
Yeah, you know, Ken talks a lot about the will part of it. You know, you got to have skill, but you certainly have to have will. And I talk a lot about inner drive being a huge factor to team and individual success. And he's probably got as good as inner drive as anybody I've been around. We've got some special guys in our room that way. I think that's what's sustained the success of the Red Wings for a long time, is a group of guys that have inner drive. And he certainly has that. I mean, Doug, we got to pull him off the ice. I mean, he's out there an hour and a half after practice some days. He loves hockey. He wants to be great. He comes every day trying to be great. You know, my job is to make sure that while he's had real good success, we still want to make sure he's getting better. And, you know, ultimately he's been a really good player for us. And obviously as a 19-year-old, he's been a great player. But when the expectations continue to rise as the season moves along and into future years, we got to make sure he's getting better at all the little things it's going to take for him to continue on a route to become a superstar. So he's been great. Peter, for me, I've watched Peter obviously closely over the last 3 years, you know, starting in our time in Grand Rapids, and he's got special, special qualities from a mind standpoint. He doesn't get nervous, loves the big moments, and most people aren't that way. He's got a short memory, thinks about the next shot and the next game. Real special mental qualities. And what he's done over the years, I think, is he's brought his skill set up to the level of his mental qualities. And probably the biggest area, he competes so hard in the net. He used to get himself out of the cage and out of the blue paint and to a point where he'd put lots of pressure on the defense to cover up for the rebounds because he couldn't get to those second and thirds. Now he stays in the cage and competes that hard. So he's really, really obviously playing at a high level.
I've never heard people tell me I have a short memory, but I've never heard it with a goaltender that a short memory that means he's ready for the next shot. I like that. Listen,
well, I was a bad goalie, Doug, so I had a long memory. I remembered every bad goal, and it continued on to the next game. I think it's a real big factor, a kind of a next shot mentality, a next game mentality. That's what he's really great at. Yeah.
So, Jeff, you've got Mrazek, and it's real clear he's the number one goalie, as you guys have said publicly. On the other hand, you've got Jimmy Howard, and everything I'm hearing is he's handling it like a real pro. But as a coach now, is it a challenge for you, for a guy like that, to keep him sharp mentally? Because we know in situations, and we've seen it in St. Louis with Allen going down and then Elliott coming back and saving their bacon, that, you know, Jimmy Howard's going to have to be ready here. But it's a tough pill to swallow watching you lose your number one job.
It's a challenge. There's no question about it that he's going through a challenge that he hasn't gone through probably in a long time. You know, we went through obviously some of it last year, and he's going through it again now. But I think the biggest thing that my message has been, and that he's really, I think, taken off and done a good job with, is making sure he's as prepared as humanly possible, that when that opportunity comes, whether it's the next start he has or if something were to happen, that he's as ready as he can be. And you guys know that's a hard thing. It's hard when you don't see lots of light at the end of the tunnel. But the guys that end up being successful are the ones that make sure that they're prepared. And he's doing that. He's working, I think, doing a ton of extra work with Jim Bedard. That does two things. One, I think it shows his teammates how committed he still is while he's going through this tough time. And two, it ensures that when he gets his opportunities, he's as ready as he can be. I'd like to try to – he's been in some games, I think, as of late that, you know, as a goaltender – sometimes games don't go your way. The game kind of gets crazy. Pucks seem to go in. I mean, there's nights as a goalie where pucks hit the post and go wide, and there's nights where pucks are going wide and hit people and go in. And he's been in a couple of those games lately where it's gone the wrong way for him. It'd be nice if he could get to a game where it went the right way for him. But obviously part of that's on him to make sure he stands up and is great in one of these nights and starts to really regain his confidence in his games. But that work starts in practice, and he's certainly doing lots of it with Jimmy Bedard.
Now, do you piss the backups off like Babcock did, making them take face-offs? Because Ozzy used to whine about that all the time, and that's why he wanted to play, because he hated doing the face-offs. Make Howard do it. Piss him off.
I took it to another level, and I had a sheet that was so confusing that they thought it was Chinese. So we've simplified it back to a manageable. Now, you know, and Jimmy's a smart guy, and Peter's a smart guy, but they couldn't get it. So we've got it. I do make them take the face-off stats, which is, I guess, I don't know, part of being a backup.
Well, just so you know, they hate it big time.
Nothing worse than putting a pencil behind your ear during the game. Nothing worse, Jeff.
Yeah. Hey, trust me when I tell you, again, I was a bad goalie. I spent plenty of time on the bench. I know what it's like.
Want to ask you, just 50-game mark, any differences between you and Mike Babcock if you had to self-assess as far as your coaching goes, like some subtleties? Because obviously – tight as far as the program, the development, what would you say is a little different in your style compared to Mike's?
Yeah, it's hard for me to analyze. I mean, that'd be a better question for our guys and people that are around us. I think we think hockey a lot the same. I think we think teaching in our approach, whether it be practice or video, somewhat similar. You know, I certainly learned a lot from Mike, not only in the year we were together in Detroit, but certainly the 3 years after. I had a pretty unique relationship with him while I was in the American League, where I was on the phone with him on a real consistent basis. But with that said, I'm certainly a different person. We're different people entirely. So I'm sure just in the way that I approach things is different than Mike. How we play, Gord, I mean, we've tried to, you know, have our D be active to a level maybe beyond where they were the last couple of years. I know it's something that Mike has done in the past, but maybe in the last couple of years, they weren't quite as active as our D have been here. We've tried to utilize our skating of Green and Smith and DeKaiser and all that group. So that's one area where I've had people say to me, it looks like the D are a little more active in the O-zone, a little more active in the rush than they've been. But a lot of our game's the same. Our guys do it very well. And I would say there's probably more similarities than differences, except, I guess, in our personalities.
Obviously, you don't watch as much NFL as he does, because this talking behind the card like the NFL coaches on the bench, I'm glad you don't do that. Like, what's with that? He talks behind the card on the
lip readers.
He thinks he's Belichick back there.
Yeah.
What?
You gotta hide the next play.
Well, that's it. No Spygate either. None of those.
Congratulations, Jeff. Keep it up.
Yeah.
That's it. Hey, thanks for joining us, Jeff.
I'm doing the rest of the show.
They're talking behind the paper anyway. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Blashill, head coach of the Detroit Red. Yeah, you know, I've always wondered about that, too.
He's hiding it. The signals.
He's not the only one. A lot of them do it.
It's a joke.
I know.
What do you mean it's a joke?
Why do they do it?
Well, I agree with you. I'm just saying, lip readers, I'm telling you,
lip readers.
And what are they going to do? What's the lip reader going
to
do?
But here's the best thing not to do.
Yeah.
Your buddy Oberman, okay?
Keith Oberman,
your buddy. I remember when I was coaching the Panthers, and I went ballistic behind the bench and said some bad words. And Oberman did a clip on it on ESPN at night, and it really embarrassed my family. And as Jill said to me, you know, you moron, or you idiot. You
lovable moron.
Our kids have to go to school, and you acting like so. Thank your buddy Oberman for almost putting my marriage on the rocks.
Your family was used to it by then, okay?
I'd do it at the dinner table.
Okay, I know it's been said a thousand times.
That's one reason.
But doesn't Jeff sound like Mike Babcock?
Yeah. Totally.
Identical.
Kenny Holland makes the coaches take voice lessons so they sound like Babber.
Well, we want to hear the sounds of...
Because he doesn't want the players to ever be comfortable.
You know what Jeff needs to do? He needs to call MLSC and say he's Mike Babcock and he's changed his address. Yes. If they can forward the checks.
Send the checks. And here's who's using my tickets tonight.
Here's the new address.
Wants him to talk like Babcock, so the players are on edge all the time.
Well, let's hear Kevin Cheveldayoff, how he talks. We'll come back. The general manager of the Winnipeg Jets is joining us next. Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, Doug McLean, fresh from the 40-minute walk in the cold as he gets yelled at by truck drivers, loving it.
You miss Hockey us, Central. Don't you, Gord?
I do. I miss it. I got another half hour of you. Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and as well on the Sportsnet TV and the NHL Network.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back. Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, Doug McLean on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Watching on Sportsnet, watching on the NHL Network, and watching and talking now to Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. Nice win over the St. Louis Blues a day after announcement that Dustin Byfuglien had signed the new five-year contract to remain in Winnipeg. Kevin, first of all, I guess glad. Nice W right after. I know we talked just before the game, so a nice way to get things going in the new Dustin Byfuglien era.
Well, it was a real solid game. We played well in Colorado and backed it up with another solid one in St. Louis. But so we're in town here tonight in Winnipeg to play the Bruins, and then we go on the road for four. So it's that time of the year where you have to start getting those wins, putting them in the win column here, so you can either go on a run.
Chevy, I was told, and I've been under the impression for a long time, that the only reason you came on this show was because Millard was on it. He's not here today, Chevy.
No.
Well, I'm here to dispel all those rumors.
Yeah,
I understand.
He's devastated.
You guys kicked me off the air the other day, though. I was like literally dialing.
Well, we go with
the show and all of a
Chevy.
Sudden,
Chevy, you know what happened?
We go with the big hitter of the day. We don't fool around on the show, man.
I'm going to tell you exactly what happened to you, Chevy. Okay, you got one-upped because you were supposed to come on, and then Brian Murray and Lou got together, traded for Nuff, and you got bumped. Yep. Now you know how I feel in Millard when McLean tries to one-up us.
I can do one better than that.
Well, it's a prestigious club to be in there, Kipper, then.
Well, it's nice to have you, Chevy. Chevy, I said I thought it was too much money for Byfuglien getting up into the high sevens for him, but then I say, okay.
Tell him he's nuts. You got a bargain.
I say, I don't like the dollars, but I love the term. So do you like the dollars the term?
I guess you have to, liken it akin to July 1st tell me who really likes the dollars on July 1st or who really likes the term or anything on July 1st, really. So that's essentially what we had to do here. We had to entice a player to forego the opportunity to, peddle his services to the other 29 teams on July 1st. And for that, there is a little give and take. And so certainly, if you look at some of the other deals that had been done with respect to, 6 years for a player that is a year older than him or 8 years for another defenseman out in the league, we feel comfortable at five, and we knew we had to give a little on the money side, and we were comfortable with that.
I look at it and I think that he gave you a very fair deal, and we all believe that July 1st you would have got a better offer somewhere else. In saying that, Kevin, do you also weigh in the thought that you could have had him in the summer for less years, or is that just not looking a gift horse in the mouth?
Well, that's a little speculatory, with respect to, what you could or can't. And at that point in time, there's other things that, are certainly being discussed. And everyone can have the benefit of hindsight and say we would have or could have. But, the reality is that he had a really good year, is having a really good year, and has earned the right to have this kind of interest, in him and justifiably so. It's a league where, you're comfortable to pay for performance, and we did.
Chevy, if you need a franchise defenseman to win a Stanley Cup, and that's the Niedermeyers and the Prongers and the Lidstroms, and it goes on, and the Keiths and the Doughtys, it goes on and on. is, and you know it a lot better than I do, obviously, is Byfuglien a franchise defenseman, and should he be named in the same breath as those guys?
Well, I guess those guys all have, shown that they can win cups, and until I guess you do,
he won one as a forward.
You're mentioned in those. He won one as a forward. There's no question. I was a part of it. He was a young player at that point in time, and the Dustin Byfuglien that won a cup, as a forward, is a much different player, much more. Knowledgeable player of the game. He was a defenseman at times. He played defense actually in that Nashville series, the year that we won the cup in 2010. Now he obviously has, learned how to, play the game, with a much greater sense of responsibility as a defenseman, and that's come with maturity. So we've got lots of work to surround him. I think certainly having a player like Buff, is an impact player. He's a dynamic player. All those other players that you mentioned, they all play for a team right now. And we've locked Ben Buff for us. So we need to continue to grow with some of the young players that we have here, and try to push the envelope in a very, very, very difficult division and conference to be in.
You know, one of the things that when you talk about Byfuglien that you don't get with other star players is that conversation of, what's he going to be like in 2 or 3 years, and where is he off the ice with his weight situation, and does he take it seriously, and all of that. Is that completely behind Dustin now?
Well, he's the different issues that happened in the past. There's some behind the scenes circumstances that I guess are more personal than a lot of people know, and certainly that we're going to share. And Buff has moved on from a lot of things that happened in his life, and one of the greatest things that happened is he's married. He has some beautiful young kids. He understands the opportunity that he has in front of him to be a professional athlete. He's met or exceeded every aspect of physical conditioning that has been implemented or asked of him by Paul Maurice since Paul's been here. And the relationship that the two of them have is one of mutual respect.
Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets, Gord Stellick, Nick Kyrgios, Darren Millard. Hockey Central at noon.
Doug McLean. Darren's not here.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Doug McLean. Sorry. Just put you in.
Thanks, Stellick. That's why I never get invited in your show, Stellick.
Sleep in every once in a while, would you?
Sorry. It looked like Darren from there. It was
Kevin.
The Manitoba guy.
Gord has 8 shows going on right
spot
now.
Is it the white spot I have in the front of my hair that you thought I was Millard or what?
What I want to ask you is, you see Ottawa adds a piece. They want to make the playoffs. You're in a similar situation, and I'm just curious, what's the one thing that really needs to go right for you guys? What's the one element of the game on the ice that you want to get back to if you're going to make the playoffs?
Well, we're healthy now. We're as healthy as we've ever been all year, so that's a good thing. But, for us, again, we've got to be disciplined. Like our penalty kill, I think, is 27th in the league or, something hovering around that. And you're not really going to make noise and do things unless you're going to become disciplined. So we can't look back, and we have to look forward here. And if we want to make a serious, run of things here, we're going to have to, try and tighten that up. In the latter, last, 30 some games that we have here, our power play has gotten a little bit better. But again, specialty teams have been, nemesis for us. If you look at 5-on-5 play, we've actually been fairly decent, but, you can't just be fairly decent and think you're, going to do something.
So Chevy, how are the nibbles on Andrew Ladd? You liking, some of the offers out there?
Well, certainly the phone, is something that is ringing, obviously, when they see, Dustin get signed, but there's lots of things here that we're still working through internally. We've got obviously Andrew as a UFA. We've got several young players as potential RFAs this summer, and we've got a puzzle that is limited by a salary cap that is unknown that you can really only speculate upon at this point. So that makes for some interesting prognostications, of which we're trying to go through those iterations right now.
So are we going to trade him?
Is there any...
After all that, that's the question.
Is there any chance at all that he's still a member not signed?
You know, again, we did that last year with Michael Frolik. You know, again, I think you will take a look at that situation and circumstance if it presents itself. But, you know, I think there's probably, you know, either a deal to be had or, you know, a trade to be made. Or, you know, but again, we'll look at all those situations as they present themselves.
Chevy, good luck, man. I hope, I know it's been a tough year and it looked like your team was ready to take a big step, but that it takes time.
Yeah, you know, it certainly does. And you know, again, you know, internally, you know, you look at some things. Obviously, you know, Nikolai Ehlers has worked his way in from a young kid, you know, just getting on the roster to now, you know, playing as a regular in the top six. You know, again, so, you know, that's an exciting thing for us. Obviously, you know, having Buff locked up was a question that at one point in time now is a certainty. So, again, it does take time, and but I think, you know, again, there's probably, you know, more for this group to give, but, you know, we'll see if we can squeeze it out of them.
How are your fans in Winnipeg after making the playoffs and then you know, having a so far a disappointment?
I suspect they're really happy.
No,
Nick.
But is it is it hard, or are they patient, or what's the sense that you're getting?
Well, the sense that I get is that they, you know, again, one thing we've never deviated from how we were going to build this organization and continue to move forward is through the draft and develop model. And that was something when I sat down with Dustin that we talked about. And it was, you know, extremely refreshing for him to say, look, I believe in the direction we're going. And I know that, you know, this is going to take some time. But you know what? He sat there and he made the commitment to us based on, you know, the plan that we laid out in front of him here. And, you know, the fans that I speak to, they understand that. You know, certainly the media would maybe like to drum it up a little bit more, but again, no fan wants to lose, and neither, you know, does anyone in this organization. But you know, we're going to continue to try to make the best possible decisions with what we have in front of us to keep pushing the franchise forward, and I think they understand that.
Well, game tonight against the Boston Bruins will let you get at it. Kevin, thanks very much for joining us.
Good luck,
my
Kevin.
Pleasure. Say hi to Millard for me.
No, not really.
Yeah, right.
Not really.
Okay,
not really.
You know, Kevin Cheveldayoff off general manager, Winnipeg Jets. Doug McLean, go ahead.
I got to tell you, Shanny, it's been really nice working with
is
you.
Is it the hair?
Yeah.
You were saying everyone's trying to get the Doug McLean haircut.
So, like, will you go home now and just sleep? Like, what time did you get up this morning?
4:15.
Every day, 4:15.
Yeah, that's right. Like the Marines.
Do you think that had a factor into you calling my pal here, Darren?
Big deal. DM, Darren Millard, Doug McLean.
I thought you, as long as you didn't call me BM.
Banger.
BM.
By the way, Artemi Panarin not expected to play tonight. Going to miss two games in a row now with illness.
Oh, really?
So one note for tonight. Hey, was Cheveldayoff telling us if they haven't signed him? Kipper, to your question.
They can't go to the full league situation.
He told us
that. Go with that one.
Yeah.
Sorry? Toronto's getting the draft
Chicago
next
is.
Chicago's getting the draft next
Chicago's
year.
Chicago's getting the draft next
wow,
year.
Wow, that's great news.
Big press conference Matt, there, and they had the mayor and everything, Matt so Brown, you know when that happens.
Justin Duberman will be excited about that. He won't have to pay my son Clark's flight to a draft excited. Somewhere else.
So now,
great city.
Who's going to be first guest on your show? Would it be Darren McLean or me?
Why don't you guys come in studio together?
Are you kidding? What time are you on?
7 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Now, do you guys pay? Do you pay?
That was a good one.
Like Glenn Healy gets
That's
paid.
That's a good one.
Right?
Healy,
come on your show.
Healy's never, he's on a different show, a different time
now,
of the day.
Greg Millen refuses to go on shows unless he gets paid, so yeah. He's never on any.
So can we start negotiating now?
I'm going to start charging so nobody asks
so
me.
You have a segment on your show called Last Minute of Play. Because
correct.
I hear that voice, which I grew up with. That was Paul Morris.
Paul
Morris.
Yeah, PA announcer
yes,
at
love
the
that
Gardens.
Hey, now, isn't that the greatest?
He was an electrician there full-time
awesome
as well.
That was awesome that you used that. Now, do you pay him for using his voice?
Not until now. I don't know if he...
I would think that would
stuff.
Be...
Public domain.
That would be a copy. No, I think he... You know what? I think he deserves to get paid for that, wouldn't
well,
you?
Well, if you want to send him something, I'm sure he'll appreciate it.
I think it's great, though. I want
to negotiate his contract.
It was nothing better than being in Maple Leaf Gardens. I remember being there as a coach.
Last minute of play.
And hearing that voice was pretty cool.
And then at the
cool.
end, please walk or drive safely,
yes.
right?
I
good night,
it.
Everybody.
I loved it.
Yes. Well, there's a royalty for him on that show if you
well,
keep using
okay.
it.
Well, you're the king of royalties. We'll find out. What about, what can we do Kipper-wise?
You know what? It was refreshing, Gord, having you
I
on.
I loved
well,
having
you
on. Really I really
I
did.
Enjoyed.
Even though you're half asleep, I really, really
Look at you.
Enjoy you.
Holy mackerel.
I didn't
what
get
bar did you get kicked out of? You never never went to bed.
You know what? It's no big deal calling me by my wrong name. As long as you didn't call me Ron, I'm happy. Because that's what I do usually get. Hi, Ron.
That's the construction guys in the morning.
So Darren Millard is
not here.
You
know, I said I walk downtown and people are yelling at me, there. But the problem is they're calling me Ron.
That's it. Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick, Nick Kiprios, Doug McClain. Take care, Darren. All on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Sportsnet, and the NHL Network. Kipper's negotiating deals.